Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Welcome to Inner Light Radio Show with Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. I'm Celeste Morgan, and I'm so happy to be here with you. Reverend D will be with us next week. Make sure that you join us. She's going to be live, and who knows what she's going to bring with her. Could be Wilhelmina. She might even channel. But one thing for sure, she'll definitely be in the house to answer your questions. Tonight we have a powerful talk that Reverend D did called Wherever You Are, Give Your Gifts. She challenges your unexamined assumptions, which opens up the door for more. And you're ready for that, right? But what kind of more is the question? Stay tuned. Check out this powerful conversation and get ready to deliver your gifts. Peace and love. We'll see you on the flip side. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to this Inner Light Ministries podcast. Inner Light Ministries is an omni-faith outreach ministry dedicated to spiritual transformation. This podcast is another Sunday message by Reverend Deborah L. Johnson, the founding minister of Inner Light Ministries. These podcasts are sponsored entirely by donors like you. You can join our live Sunday streaming service, view video archives, and support Inner Light's virtual programs by visiting us online at innerlightministries.com. Thank you. We couldn't do it without you.
And our theme this month is spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth. You know, we're in the middle of a very contentious election cycle here in 2012. You might have noticed. And there's so much talk about the economy. Yes? And you know, we think of economics as being about money. We even think of economics as being about numbers or statistics. But economics is a field of study, and it's a field of study of human behavior. Economics is a social science. And it's the study of the science of people and what people do with their resources. How people allocate their resources. But economics is based upon theory. And not theory about how, quote unquote, the economy works, but theory about how human beings work. That underneath every economic system is a worldview about the nature of reality, the nature of being, the natural order of things, and most especially this idea about who are we as people. And one of the things that we need to do is to start challenging unexamined assumptions. Our economic system is based upon three principles. Resources are scarce. More is always better than less. And each and every person is always going to operate in their own self-interest. Those are given as immutable truths. And you know what? I'm not even going to debate those. But what I would say is that we need a revolution in our consciousness of what those mean, even if we believe that to be true. If something is really scarce, a resource is really scarce, what information does that give us? Does that tell us that we should hoard it? Does that tell us that we should go off and get as much of it as we possibly can to make sure that ours has some and that the other people don't get any because you know it's scarce? Or is the fact that something is scarce means that it is so precious and so sacred that we should protect it? That if it's that scarce, maybe we should make certain, not that I hoard it up, but that there's enough left for the next generation. If it's that scarce, maybe that means we need to treat it a little better than we might treat everything else that we think is just run of the mill that we can always get more of. It's just a thought. It's just a thought. You know, more is always better than less. Oh, I don't disagree with that. It's just a question of more of what? More of what? See, if your more is about the essence of things, if your more is about spiritual qualities, oh, more is always better than less. More love is always better than less love. More joy is always... Nobody ever died of too much joy. Too much compassion and creativity has never been the downfall of anything. Could there be too much truth? Could there possibly be too much faith? Could there ever be too much of a really good thing? No. But more is always better than less is never true in the material world. Never, ever, ever. We've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, that there is an economic principle of the law of diminishing return. It basically states that for every input, you keep giving inputs, and it's going to give you more outputs, and then you're going to reach an optimal level. And then beyond that, the very same resource, the very same input that was bringing you more enhancing things, if you keep inputting that very same thing, you're going to reach a point where it's going to work against you. You're going to reach a point where it's going to be counterproductive. Instead of you getting more by that input, you will get less. This is true for everything. You need to eat, yes? There comes a point in your time, in your eating, where your body is maximized on what it can do with the food that it is intaking. Beyond that point, it's not good for you. It's not that the food is good or bad. It's not more is always better. But there's a balance. The outer world is always about balance. We tend to look at things as good or bad. It's not good or bad. Not stuff of the outer world. There's a place of balance. Exercise is good for you, yes? Till a certain point. Caring for your children is good, yes? Up until a certain point. You take care of them too much, you're going to cripple them. More is not always better than less. So we're finding this out with the ecology and our consumer patterns. More is not always better than less. But if we make the more about the real stuff, yes, that's true. More of you. More of your essence. More of your power. More of your truth. Oh, yes. More is always better than less. But what happens is that we trade off. Instead of seeking the more of the good stuff, we seek the more of the stuff that taps out. And we're actually sacrificing the best of the good. We're actually sacrificing the spiritual principles. We're actually sacrificing the expression of the spiritual qualities in order to get more stuff. I can't be who I am because I'm too busy making a living. How much living is in that living that you're making? Each operates in their own self-interest. Well, depends on how you define self. It depends on how you define self. If you make self about your capital S self, and you always operated in that self-interest, you wouldn't be against other people. Because that capital S lives in a place of oneness. That capital S is looking for a common good. That capital S is always, that capital self is always looking to make a contribution. It understands the interconnectedness of everything. It's coming from that place. I did a keynote last week for the Pachamama Alliance at a gathering that they had of their leadership. And I was explaining how the same principles that we use around environmentalism are the same principles that we need to apply to social justice. That they are not different things. It's the same stuff, just different application. The exact same consciousness that got us into ecological devastation is the same consciousness that gets us into social injustice. It's not different things. It's the same consciousness just applied to people and planet. Same stuff. Same stuff. I said, if we would just use all of this stuff that we know about the ecology, I said, if we just start with the notion of sustainability. And I said, what is sustainability? At the heart of sustainability is the concept of regeneration. What if we looked at all of our social programs from the standpoint of regeneration? Oh my God! Sustainable education. Sustainable health care. A sustainable economy. Imagine that. But it means we're going to have to dig a little deeper. We've got to dig a little deeper. See, my topic today is about wherever you are, give your gift. The spiritual wealth is not about stuff outside of ourselves. But we have made it about stuff outside of ourselves. In the very systems and structures and the infrastructures of how we go about wealth, we have made it about stuff outside of ourselves. We need a revolution of values. You take the United States of America. And we had built our whole economic system initially around a gold standard. That was going to be backing up our money and our currency. Yes? Where do you find gold on our continent? Where is all this gold from our new nation going to come from to back up our nation? Where is this gold? And not here. So it brings a question of intent. Can you feel what I'm saying here? It brings a question of intent. When you start building something on something you got to get from someplace else. When you start trying to build something and the whole way it's going to be backed up is based on something you don't have, the consciousness that I obtain sustains. Okay? So if you start off by having to get it from someplace else, guess what? If you set up a whole agricultural system based on farms you can't farm? Based on farms you can't farm? Most of this immigration issue that we're having around now, is it not about agriculture? Has there not been something systemically set up? We need a revolution of values. We have to start with sufficiency. We can't start with not enoughness. Because whether it's your personal life or whether it's a whole economic system, if it is based upon not enoughness, there will always be tension and friction. And it will never be sustainable. There's a place of enoughness. There's a place of sufficiency. And sufficiency is not a number. Sufficiency is a concept. Sufficiency is a wealth within yourself where you know that you are enough. There's a sleight of hand that happens. We go from there isn't enough to I don't have enough to I am not enough. Where we equate our wealth and our value with what we have. And part of that's a trick of the English language, deliberately so. But there's something about you. There's something about you. There's a fundamental worth. There's a fundamental value. And the only way we're going to find it is to stop trying to manufacture it. Is to stop trying to create it. To stop trying to create products, relationships, or whatever that are going to prove to us what our worth and our value is. We have to start with the assumption that I am worthy, that I am valuable, that I have gifts to give. And here's the clincher. We have to be willing to express that wherever we are. We're holding out. We're holding out for the big one. We're holding out for the next one. We're not showing up with all of ourselves all the time because this circumstance and this condition really doesn't deserve all of me. Oh, I'm just here for a paycheck. I'm just here for, I don't care about all this stuff going on here. Just, You know, I'm just going to work my hours. I'm just going to get a paycheck. No. You know, we're coming up on the holidays soon, pretty here. Now, this is just my family. I'm going to save all that unconditional love for the spiritual people at church. This is just my family. Now, you know, I'm just passing through this place. I don't own it anyway. So why should I bother to take that much care of it? Give your gifts wherever you are. If you show up fully wherever you are, you will experience a kind of wealth. If you have the courage to show up wherever you are with all that you have, without worrying about how is it going to be received or how you're going to get paid for it. I'm not saying you don't have business plans. What I'm saying is that if you are so calculated, where every time you're giving something, you're always looking for a payback, that's going to get in the way of your wealth. People aren't going to want to work with you. The ones that really have it going on, they're not going to want to work with you. If you want to participate in that divine circulation, you have to show up as somebody who is divinely circulating. Don't think of yourself as being less off for giving your gift. That notion, well, I don't want to be ripped off. Who gets ripped off? Who gets ripped off when you don't give your gifts? You hold your gifts because you don't want to be taken advantage of. You don't want to be ripped off. You're ripping your own self off. I remember going on a wine tasting tour a number of years ago, and it really struck me that for a few seasons, and I forgot the number of years, the grapes wouldn't be harvested. They were just allowed to fall on the ground, and they became a natural compost that fertilized the soil. I want you to think about this, your life. The Bible is always making a lot of references to the vineyard. And the vineyard being this place of ideas. And we harvest. And the fruit of that, the new wine. How you can't put new wine into old skins. You can't put new ideas into old skins because wine is effervescent. It grows and it expands and it needs new places within you to be able to express. But how much in this marketplace environment do we worry about what's going to happen to our grapes? And somehow or another, if they're just falling around us and not going to marketplace, well, then they're really not of value. And I have to even wonder if I'm really all that much of a grapevine. None of my grapes are being sold. Maybe I'm not really a grapevine. What am I going to do with all these grapes down here? Oh, they're going to waste. Fertilizing you is never a waste. Fertilizing you is never a waste. That stuff that's coming out of you, the songs, the music, the poetry, the love, the caring, the projects, all that kind of stuff, it's going to be like the grapes. It's going to be falling all around you because you're going to give Like it says in the prophet with Khalil Gibran, you're going to give because like the yonder tree, like the apple trees, you just give because you give. You give because you're an apple tree. Does the apple tree go, well, there's nobody around here to eat them. Nobody's going to eat them, so I'm not going to give any apples right now. The rose doesn't care if anybody's looking. And I say, well, I think I'll just stay up here until the right person comes along. Why should I waste all this beauty? Blossom because that's what you do. Amen. Give your fruit because that's what you do. Because that's what you do. And I perhaps never learned this more than I did doing prison outreach work. That work has changed my life forever. And what I have learned, we've done pretty exclusively over the past 12 years of male prisons, but I am really looking forward to doing some female prisons. Really looking forward. We've been doing prison work for 12 years now. And when we first started having regular programs, we were doing arts and corrections, and we were doing things with the religious communities. And when we really started teaming up with the inmates on a particular program that we've been doing now a number of years called the Impact Program, and we have a steering committee, and these are men that co-facilitate with us, and we develop the curriculum together, and we work together. And our initial bunch of guys were lifers, or are lifers, I guess I should say, with the exception of one. With the exception of one. And they've been scattered now, our original guys. They're in different prisons in different places and doing whatever they're doing. And they still keep in contact. But I remember part of what impressed me so much in why I said yes to this particular program, which is going to take a lot of work and effort, and I'll say more about that in just a second, was because here were men who weren't thinking about themselves. This wasn't about them getting out at all. But they wanted to do something to help the other guys that were going to get out. And I watched real, real love. I see real, real love there. And a rawness of emotion and patience, forgiveness, a stick-to-itiveness. They've been my teachers. And in so many respects have helped me to see how shallow I can be about things sometimes. And our expressions of gratitude this day, we normally do it at the beginning of service, is going to our prison outreach ministry. These are individuals who, most of us actually go inside. Some are doing correspondence. And when we go in, there's such a presence. The consciousness that it takes to do this work, to look beyond the barbed wire, to look beyond the guards and the keys and all of the stuff that's going on, and the place that we meet heart to heart, where we're heart to heart as quickly with a warden or a guard as we are with an inmate. where there's people. Just being people. And the depth and the richness and the stories of the lives that are healed and are changed. And I am telling you now, this is some of the finest work that Inner Light does. Lives are really changed, and you're going to see just what I'm talking about in a second. So this is the prison that we go to the most, Pleasant Valley State Prison. And I'm going to ask those who are involved in our prison outreach ministry who are here, can you please come up? Because we'd like to give you our expressions of gratitude. We're teaching too about forgiveness and healing and transformation. Yes. And I would like to these are some good folks. Susan Lantis and Valerie Hayes and Cassandra Davies and Terry Dowell and Russell Downing, Gypsy Powers, Ganane Downing, Elizabeth Treat, Cheryl Snyder, Jane Mangles, Dave Izett, Linda Kimball Grace, and the illustrious Valerie Joy Fidmont are with us here now. I would also like to acknowledge Jane Mangles and Russell Downing, along with Lynette Nielsen, who for years have been the leadership of this. And a number of people, yes. And a number of people who've been very instrumental, and I don't see them here now, but I want to mention them. Beth Love, who's over with our children's ministry, and her husband, Golden Love, as well. Joanne Daly has been very instrumental. Karen Elizabeth, Karen Blades, the Woodstocks, C. Michael, Reverend C. Michael and Robin were very much a part of us. Bruce Burwald, Darcy Toll, Gene Sibley, Todd Leahy has been going with us a lot lately, and we certainly appreciate his love and his light and his consciousness. Stephen Walters, Serena Fennell, and a host of other people, and I really wanted to give a shout-out to them. As an extra special treat today in our expressions of gratitude, I would like to call up a gentleman who is the person who got us into the prison work in the first place. His name is Bruce Bickham. Please come forward. And we've been following him around. He was head of Arts and Corrections at Pleasant Valley State Prison. And he is now at a youth authority, I want to say prison because that's what it is. It's a youth prison in Stockton, which we have now started to do work there as well. So in addition to the adults, we're working with 14 to 19-year-olds and doing an extraordinary work there. And I cannot thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. We were having service when we used to be at the Vets Building, Veterans Memorial Center, and his wife, whom I did not know, was visiting somebody in town, loved the sermon, took a cassette tape, this is 2000 now, took a cassette tape home to her husband, Bruce, who loved it, who shared it with the imam, Michael Salam. And then we got this call. Did we want to come? And it has been nonstop then. And I want to give him extra credit because when Arts and Corrections got cut, there was about a year and a half where we couldn't go in at all. And he would still come to this area and we would vision. And we would vision for the whole thing. And my extra, can I have a cordless mic? And my extra pleasure to present the expressions of gratitude to these wonderful individuals is one of our lead co-facilitators. In fact, the program that we do was a program that he had designed a number of years ago on another yard. Can I have the other picture? So a year and a half ago, after 28 years of incarceration, Paul Engen was released. And while he was in prison, I gave him an Inner Light practitioner license because he was the epitome of being a practitioner. Paul, please join us. Yes, you can walk with Karen. So, last August, he married his former girlfriend. Yes. 28 years. And we have been holding the faith, the love, and the light. Yes. Paul is so good that he works for the parole house where he lives. They hired him, and he's the one who's still helping everybody else. Got clean and sober in prison.
Thank you. I'm not going to get through this. The biggest word is gratitude. You know, everything about Reverend E, I was in a place I deserved to be there. And I lived through that. And I finally got to a point where I allowed God, well, I surrendered to it. That's what it was. It was a surrender. And I realized that where I was at was an opportunity. And then I meet, I don't even know how to explain it. But I learned the word possibility. And everything that's happened. The word grateful just doesn't compare to it. And the other thing I need to say is, it's not just a matter of being grateful for these people, because they transformed the prison yard. I'll tell you that right now. There's not a single person that hasn't gone through the program that they bring to us that hasn't been changed in some small way. And not at one particular time, and she was so wonderful about that, they didn't come down to preach to inmates. They came down there to be present with inmates. There's no way to mask, or there's no way to let God not be a part of that. And every person that ever left that, whether they were ever acknowledging that there was an existence of God, knew that God existed because of these people right here.
And we do a supposedly secular program.
Yeah. And I'm actually blank. I'm sorry.
Your presence is enough. I've visioned this for years.
I had to say one other thing, too. You know, ever since they came, I met him at an interfaith. And me and someone else played guitar, and Bruce brought me there. And it was Russell. How can you ever forget someone like Russell? the biggest, happiest human being that walks on the face of the earth. I didn't know his name then. I didn't know his name for probably 5 years, until 2005, when we all came down and they decided they were going to do some kind of work that we hadn't really decided yet. But the beauty of the whole thing is that... I lost it again. I lost it again.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. I needed to say that...
This is a lot to be in front of everybody like this.
It's all of you. I have never set foot in this sanctuary, and yet I always felt that I was a part of Inner Light Ministries.
Yes.
This is like returning home when I've never been here.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. You know, and I and we're about to pray out, but I would be remiss if I didn't let you just say something.
Oh, my. The power that came when Inner Light came was like a force. When you're in a condensed, confined existence, a place of that much confinement and cement and iron, and it's stiff and it's rigid, and it was nothing compared to the power of Inner Light Ministries when they came. It washed right over. It rushed right over the prison, and they're still there.
Yes.
It could not keep them out. Those walls are just as much to keep people out as to keep them in. And they just waltzed right in and stayed and said, we're here. We're going to stay.
Yes.
And they're still there. And it's a blessing. It's
Thank
just
you.
An unbelievable blessing.
Thank so, you.
Yeah.
So, Paul and Bruce, Bruce. Bruce Bickham and Paul Engen are going to be in the fireside room after service. If anybody want to meet and greet and just have a minute with them before we do our final pray out at 1, you know, please feel free to do that. Let's take a deep breath and let's pray. Can we put this back there? So on the first Sunday, I usually bring up my practitioners of Inner Light Ministries so you can see who prays for you. And as I look around here, they're all practitioners, and I have one in training. So they're representing the practitioners. Oh, we turn within in this moment. And I am knowing deep within my bones that there is not a spot where God is not. And where any of God is, all of God is, because God is an indivisible substance. Divine law and order. The logos, the word, that which created everything. Too big to even define, and yet so personal to us. Like the song that sings itself in our soul is personal to us within the big impersonal music. So in this moment right now, I just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As the psalmist said, if I had 10,000 tongues, it just wouldn't be enough to say thank you. In this moment right now, we pause to bless the journey. Every step along the way, we declare it good and very, very good. By the alchemy of the divine, every moment is redeemed, brought back into the whole, in a way that can be a blessing for everyone. So in those places where we are stuck, we speak a word of forgiveness. We speak a word of release. We speak a word of possibility. We speak a word of power. We will not be stuck. We're open. And in this openness, we are participating in the divine flow. The good that we seek is seeking us, because there's only one of us here. There's a divine marriage of consciousness. Have thine own way, sweet spirit. Have thine own way. I'm knowing that you come forth as the manna from heaven, each according to their own needs. This is the promise. It always has been, and it always will. Never has there been a cosmic famine. We live in a world of enoughness. And I pray the prayer of our own individual and collective sufficiency. We stand in it and we stand unto it. We bring that consciousness into every situation and allow it to transform whatever it is that's going on. Speak to our hearts, sweet Spirit. Speak to our hearts. We are open. We are available. We are yielded. We are surrendered. Ego, get thee behind me. Just like the law of diminishing returns, yes, you have your part, but you can't have the keys. You can't drive the bus. We're not bringing in God to do the bidding of our egos. Ego, surrender and be the servant of divine will. So use us. Everything about us, our experiences, our education, our resources, our connections, our creativity, our unique, authentic expression. Use us. Use us. Thank you for showing up. This healing in the body temple. Thank you for being all needs met. Thank you for being financial prosperity. Thank you for being divine right housing and divine right employment and divine right companionship. For being direction and guidance. For being opportunity opening up. Reconciliation. Love. Joy. Peace in the midnight hour that passes all human understanding. Thank you. Thank you. This prayer that we pray about ourselves, we pray for everybody because there is only one of us here. God is not a Democrat or a Republican and doesn't care. Whether it's the politics of the elections or the politics of our own lives, we will not be separated, divided, and live partisan existences. Whatever our identities are, we surrender to something bigger than that. Because God is all there is. We stand in this truth. And like the rock, like the tree planted by the river, we will not be moved. Sway with the wind, but will not be moved. And so it is. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to this Inner Light Ministries Sunday Message Podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast via the iTunes Music Store. This podcast is exclusively funded by listener donations. If you have found inspiration today, please consider making a donation and join us for our next inspirational message. Visit innerlightministries.com.
Wasn't that an amazing word? So powerful. I want to thank you for listening to the Inner Light Radio Show with Deborah L. Johnson. Such a powerful word with us tonight. And the good news is she'll be here next week live. In the meantime, don't forget that you are never a waste. Remember, fertilizing you is never a waste. It's a powerful conversation to put into your consciousness. You only get to keep what you give away. So share your gifts and help replenish the planet. Reverend Dee will be here live next week at 9 p.m. Eastern, where she will be in the house to answer your questions and to take you to the next level of what it means to divinely circulate. I'll also be there. We're going to release the show tonight with Living Grace by Valerie Joy. You can find her at valeriejoy.com. Go gently into your night and be blessed. that you are enough. Good night, and we love you all. Enjoy this next song selection as we say see you later. It's never goodbye, especially when you can check this out again in the archives.
If there ever comes a time when I want to
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.